Our enormous little baby is growing up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. General Motors has not been out of bankruptcy very long, and this morning the company said it's starting to go backward more slowly. What I mean is GM says from the time it left bankruptcy at the end of, through the end of September, it lost $1.2 billion. Now, that sounds lousy, but it is better than before. In fact, they're planning to pay the government back earlier than expected. On the line with us is Alan Baum, an independent auto analyst in the Detroit area. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Alan's joining us live this morning. And let's start with this idea of paying the taxpayer back early. Now, that what does that mean for us? I mean, we get a little bit less interest that way, right?
They do, but the biggest issue is that this helps GM's perception in the eyes of the consumer, which is going to be good for the consumer and the taxpayer in the long run.
So overall, what are our odds of ever getting all our money back from GM?
Well, there were a couple of different pots of money, if you will, that GM received. And the early pot of money we're not likely to see back, but the later pot of money is likely to come back.
Okay. So so they look a little better to the customer. Why is that so important?
Well, obviously that will enable them to sell more cars, which will increase their top line. And over time, that will allow them to post real earnings. And eventually, when the IPO is set up, that will increase the value of the IPO. So all around, this is good news, not just for the company, but for the taxpayer, because, of course, the taxpayer will benefit from the IPO.
Well, the term good news has gotten so relative. Losing $1.2 billion, I mean, is that really real good news?
Well, I mean, we got to remember where we are in the auto market right now. We are at 10 million units in a market that used to be at 17 million. So you're going to lose money, and it's not just General Motors. It's throughout the industry. But obviously, General Motors has been in a different position than most of its other competitors.
Okay. Alan Baum, independent auto analyst in the Detroit area, joining us live. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
By the way, auto sales rebounded last month overall, according to a government report this morning. October retail sales rose more than expected, and it was car sales leading the way up. And stock prices have followed. On Wall Street this morning, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are both up about 1.5%, and the Dow is up 136 points. It's at 10,407. This follows advances overseas thanks to the weakening dollar, stronger gold prices. So commodities and the companies that produce raw materials are really booming. Gold is over $1,132 an ounce now. European stocks jumped almost 2% today, and Asian markets were up 1% to 2%. In a few minutes, we're going to hear from Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke. He'll be speaking and taking questions at the Economic Club of New York. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson gives us a little preview.
Fed watchers aren't expecting major news out of today's speech. Lyle Gramley is a senior economic advisor with Soleil Securities. He says Fed economists have already indicated that the emergency measures put in place last year aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
The Fed still believes strongly, as I do, that inflation is not only going to stay low, but probably go still lower yet, and that therefore it would be a mistake for the Fed to start raising interest rates.
Of course, no big news doesn't mean no news at all. Dan Greenhouse is chief economic strategist at Miller Tabak.
When they go out there and they speak, especially Ben Bernanke, they want to tell you something. You just have to sometimes dig through a lot of trash to find the diamond in the rough, so to speak.
And for Greenhouse, that diamond might be an idea of just what indicators Bernanke is looking at to determine when it's time to ramp up interest rates and stop propping up various parts of the economy. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Some people may find the Washington Redskins name racially offensive, but the team will not lose the trademark. This morning, the Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal in a case that's been going on 17 years. A group of Native Americans petitioned the government under a law that bars trademarks that disparage people or bring them into contempt or disrepute. A federal judge had rejected the case and said the plaintiffs waited too long to challenge the trademarks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. $25 trillion of investment assets are accounted for with software from SunGard Financial Systems. More information at SunGard.com. Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
A new study is raising more questions about Merck's cholesterol drugs. The results were presented yesterday at the annual meeting of the American Heart Association. We get the story from Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
The study compared Merck drug Zetia to another drug, Niaspan. It's made by rival Abbott Laboratories, and Abbott sponsored the study. Researchers found that Zetia didn't shrink the plaque in some arteries as much as Niaspan did. Zetia users may have also suffered more heart attacks. That may not exactly prompt you to
ask your doctor if Zetia is right for you.
And it may make you more likely to ask for Niaspan. Analyst Les Funtleiter of Miller Tabak says that's exactly what the study was designed to do.
It sort of is a marketing study. You want to prove your drug is better than the other drug.
Trouble is, this is yet another in a string of unfavorable results for Zetia. Prescription rates of the drug have already fallen more than 20%.
The question is, how much worse it gets?
Experts also say the study is too small to draw firm conclusions. Larger studies are in the works, but the results won't be known for several years. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, the late Yves Saint Laurent was a rich, famous French couturier. You might assume he dined with 18th century porcelain and lounged on leopard print couches and gilded chairs. Well, the reality is, you're absolutely right. All that stuff will be auctioned this week in France as Saint Laurent's longtime partner liquidates a couple of homes they shared. Their artwork raised almost $500 million last winter. This is the more low-end stuff, the gilded armchairs ordered by the Queen of Holland for an 1812 costume ball, bone-handled magnifying glasses, crocodile leather suitcases, the recession budget items. This sale's only expected to bring in about $6 million. An official at Christie's Auction House says the stuff is quirky, but it's intimate. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.